So it says, on him the Father God has set his seal. And just thinking about a few years ago, I went to this house for dinner, and this one little boy, he kept calling me Father God. And he said, Father God, can I sit next to you? Father God, pass the potatoes. Father God, Father God. I thought, wow, that's a great name. Anyway, today I was thinking about our first reading in particular, but also the others. And Pope Francis the other day, he said, what if we complained less and prayed more? And it's sort of a simple thought, you know, but it's a beautiful one. What if we complained less and prayed more? We're in the year of prayer, which there's been so many other things happening even in Catholic land that we really haven't heard a lot about it. But we're in this year of prayer, which is why the Eucharistic Congress, it was a perfect time for it. And Pope Francis was talking just about prayer, and he's going, man, why are we complaining so much, even on the inside? You know, like, and I had to catch myself yesterday. I kept thinking in my heart, like, I wasn't saying it out loud, but man, it's so hot. It's so hot. I'm like, dude, it's not that bad. You know, like, why should I be complaining in the posture of my heart? And what if we complained less and prayed more? When the weather isn't fair for what we want to do, or for when a friend isn't good to us or kind to us or doesn't do us right, or when sickness comes, or when a decision is made that we don't like, or when a coworker is obnoxious, or whatever, you know, like, what if in those places and in all the places of our lives, when we're tempted to complain, we prayed? And it's funny because the church, the highest form of prayer is the Mass. The second highest form of prayer is the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office, which the church around the world and in heaven, purgatory, prays. And every single morning, it starts with the Invitatory, which is Psalm 95. And Psalm 95 is saying, don't be like, it's actually referencing the people in our first reading today, who were being saved by God, and as God is in the process of taking care of them, they're complaining and murmuring and thinking about how they would do it different. And every single day, we priests and religious, but the whole church, everybody who prays the Liturgy of the Hours, you can get it on your phone. It starts with this beautiful Psalm 95 that says, don't give us, make our hearts not be stubborn and complaining like our ancestors in the desert. And that every day we're starting the day with, like, man, like, help me to not have a stubborn, complaining heart. Prayer softens the heart. Prayer lifts it up. Jesus in our gospel today, he says, I am the bread of life. Here we are in John chapter 6, still one of the most important of all chapters of the whole Bible. And I am the bread of life. The word life in Greek, there's two words that could be translated into English as life. Bios, which looks like B-I-O-S, which is like biology, and that's like the natural human life. That's not the one that's used here. The one that's used here is Zoe. Zoe means an eternal, divine, supernatural life. So when Jesus says that he is the bread of life, and that when we eat him, when we consume the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, that he, our prayer with the Blessed Sacrament, lifts us up to a divine, supernatural life, even eternal, because that's where it keeps going. John chapter 6, we'll hear it the next few weeks, about Jesus saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. And if you do eat my flesh and you do drink my blood, faithfully, I will raise you up on the last day. This eternal dimension here. But that prayer softens the heart. Prayer in reception of the Blessed Sacrament, the bread of life, raises us up, lifts us up to a supernatural life. And that is why St. Paul, in our second reading today, is given the Church of Ephesus the what for. It's a bit of a come to Jesus, and they needed it, because he's saying,
You're acting like you did before you learned Jesus. You're acting like you did before you were baptized. We're about to have a baptism. You're acting like you did before in the old ways, your addictions and your sins and your darkness and your blah. And you've met Jesus now. What are you doing? He's lifted you up to a divine, supernatural, even eternal life, and you're going back to the old ways. And the church of Ephesus heard about it today in our second reading. But sometimes we need to hear about it too, which is why it's proclaimed to us at this Mass also. What if we complained less, prayed more? Prayer, not that we're always praying, but wouldn't it be nice if we were always prayerful? If we always had sort of a disposition, a posture of our hearts that was prayerful, dependent on God for everything, loving God in all things, in all moments, in all peoples. Boy, that'd be a game changer. That'd be a real game changer. I want to end with St. John Vianney. It's his feast day today. One of my favorite of all saints, of course. He's the patron saint of all priests. His relic is on our altar here. And I am praying especially through his intercession for our seminarians and also for all the young men in our parishes, that they will be open to a priestly vocation, because it is the responsibility and obligation, I never get tired of saying it, so let me say it again, of every young man to pray about the priesthood and to not assume that it is always somebody else, because God might want you. And the salvation of souls depends on men saying yes to the priesthood. And so we have John Vianney here. I am praying through his intercession today for God to continue to shower our diocese with vocations, priestly vocations in particular today, and that these priestly vocations, which don't just fall from the sky, but grow up in families and in parishes, that our parishes will continue to generate priestly vocations in a generous sort of way. But St. John Vianney, he said this about prayer. My dear brothers and sisters, not only is prayer very powerful, it is of utmost necessity for overcoming the enemies of our salvation. Look at the saints. They were not content with watching and fighting to overcome the enemies of their salvation and keeping well away from all that could offer them temptation. They passed their whole lives in prayer, not only during the day, but many of them during the night as well. Yes, my dear children, we watch over ourselves and work out our salvation and all the motions of our hearts in vain. And in vain we avoid temptation if we don't pray. If we don't continually resort to prayer, all our other ways will be of no use at all to us, and we will be overcome. We won't find any sinner converted without turning to prayer. We won't find anyone persevering in difficult times who is not heavily depending on prayer. Nor will we ever find a Christian who ends up damned, whose downfall did not begin with a lack of prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Let us pray to be people of prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.